In the gospel, Christ explains that God's generosity is greater than what we can ever earn from him. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" "They haven't answered." They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual day's wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. How do you feel about the good thief on the cross? We're all familiar with that story. The two thieves are crucified next to Jesus, and one of them berates him, of course, and the other one ultimately says, "We deserve what we've gotten." And he says to the Lord, "Remember, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What does the Lord say to him? "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, how do you feel about that? Think about it. This thief must have committed a terrible offense, because crucifixion was reserved to the most serious of offenses. Murder, sedition, that's what Christ was crucified for. Sedition against the state, making himself a king. So those thieves that were crucified next to him had to have done some pretty bad things. Must have lived lives that were corrupt for a long period of time. At the very end, this thief turns to Jesus, acknowledges him, asks to be remembered when he comes into his kingdom, and Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." How do you feel about that? Is that fair? Is that just? Now, imagine you're a Pharisee living at that same time. You take your religion very seriously. You spend your whole life trying to follow all the commandments, all the prescriptions of the Torah. And you're standing at the foot of the cross. Let's say you're one of those leaders of the people who have ended up getting Jesus crucified. And you're standing there and you hear him say to this thief, who you know has spent a horrible life, "Today you will be with me in paradise." How would you feel about that? You've lived faithfully all your life long, maybe made tremendous sacrifices. And here's this criminal being told that he will be with Jesus in paradise. Is that fair? Is that just? Did he earn from Jesus that salvation? Of course, we would say, well, you know, it's not really fair, I guess. Is that just? But most of us don't feel too bad about that. I mean, we're kind of happy to see this deathbed conversion, so to speak. When we hear about people having deathbed conversions in this, in our own, you know, our own family or friends, we kind of rejoice in that. We don't feel too badly about that. Even though it's not, strictly speaking, just, fair, deserved, earned. Why is it then that today's parable bothers us so much? Because this story that Jesus tells, this parable about the landowner going out and hiring people at different times of the day, this is one of the parables that probably is most uncomfortable for us, most perhaps unliked by people, because in it, God isn't fair. He hires the workers for the agreed upon daily wage, fine. They go off. Then he goes out. Remember the second group he sends out there, the ones he hires at 9 o'clock in the morning, he says to them, "You go into the vineyard and I'll give you what is just." These people, I'm sure, expected they'd get a proportionate wage, what was just. He goes out the rest of the time, you know, and finally when the time comes, the last ones who've been out there an hour or so come in and they get the daily wage, the full wage. Everybody else only gets the full wage. The ones who are there from the earliest part of the morning only gets the full wage. That's not fair, we say. It's just not fair. And you're right, it isn't fair. It isn't fair as we count justice. It isn't fair from the way we calculate things. And that bothers us. You know, somebody has said someplace, and I think it's a wonderful example, that when Jesus tells his parables about what the kingdom is like, now he says at the beginning of this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now remember, when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about being in heaven. He's talking about life right now. Remember one time when people asked him about the kingdom, he says, "Don't go looking for the kingdom here or there. The kingdom is among you. I am among you. The kingdom is for now, not just for sometime later." So he says the kingdom of heaven, understood that way, for now, is like. And some people have said Jesus' parables, what the whole purpose of them is to deconstruct our world and reconstruct the world the way God understands it, the way God wants it. The whole purpose of parables is to deconstruct the way we see things and construct them the way God sees things. That's what God says in the first reading, isn't it, today? "My ways are not your ways. Your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm God." So the whole purpose of the parables is to show us what God is like. Not what we're like, but what God is like. And when we look at this parable, to understand what's happening here, we have to understand the situation of day laborers at the time of Jesus. Day laborers, which these men were, did not have a steady job. In a sense, even slaves were better off than they were, because slaves belonged to a family. They were taken care of every day by the owner of the slave. Day laborers had no steady job, weren't guaranteed work. They'd go out into the marketplace at the beginning of the day and hope that somebody came to hire them for whatever kind of work was available that day. And they lived from day to day. Their families lived from day to day. If they didn't get hired today and get the normal daily wage, their families wouldn't eat that day. That's what a day laborer was. Life was very precarious for them. So these men are standing there waiting to get hired. Some of them do. You can almost hear at the end of the parable when he goes out at the end and he says to the ones who are standing around there, he says, "Why are you here idle all day?" You can almost hear the desperation in the voice of that man saying, "Nobody's hired us. I'm not going to get paid today. I have no money to buy food for my family today." You can almost picture, you know, the wife and the children of that man, oh, standing off maybe by their house in the distance, watching for him to get hired, hoping he's going to get hired, because if he doesn't get hired, there's no food that day. And there's no savings from day to day. He can't go take some money out of the bank and buy something. He lives day to day. That was the fate of a day laborer. So if they didn't get a full day's wage, the normal full day's wage, their family was in trouble that day. So when the owner at the end of the day gives that person, those people who had gone into the vineyard at the very end of the day, a full day's wage, imagine how joyful they must have been. They didn't earn it. It was undeserved. It wasn't just as we count justice, but it's what they needed. If he hadn't given it to them, their families would have suffered that day. So what the owner does is not, he's not just to them. He's not fair to them. He's merciful to them. He's generous to them. It's not that they didn't want to work. They wanted to work, but nobody hired them. And their families were going to suffer. So in mercy and generosity, he gives them what they need. Now, the first ones got what they needed too, what they had agreed to. But the other ones, their families would have suffered if he didn't give them what they needed out of generosity. So you see what this whole parable says. As God destructs our world and reconstructs his world, you see what the parable is saying to us. It's not saying that justice and fairness isn't important. What it's saying to us is this, that there are times when justice and fairness are not enough. There are times when strict justice and what people earn and what they deserve will simply not be enough. And when are those times? It's when people are in a situation that they're helpless in. There's nothing they can do about it. They can't change it. They can't do it by themselves. They can't earn it by themselves. In those situations, fairness is not enough. Generosity and mercy have to become operative there. That's the way it should be. Beginning in this world, yes, justice is important. You know, there's a place in one of the letters of St. Paul where he's saying to the people in one of the communities here, look, if somebody doesn't work, they shouldn't eat. Paul isn't saying that we become, you know, we support people who aren't willing to do their part. Jesus himself, remember the parable Jesus has of the talents? He gives one 10 talents, one 5 talents, one talent, and they're told to go off and work on it and bring something back, and two of them do. They're rewarded. The one who doesn't do anything has the one talent taken away from him. So Jesus isn't saying that work and justice and fairness and earning things isn't important. But what he's saying is there are times when that will not be enough because people will stand in need that they can do nothing about. They will stand in need that they can't possibly deserve or earn what they need. And when that's the case, in the kingdom of God, mercy and generosity become the operative principle, not justice. When people can't help the situation they're in, when they stand in need, mercy and generosity are more important than justice. That's what he's saying to us today. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God, or should be, beginning now. So if you or I find ourselves always saying, so-and-so doesn't deserve that, so-and-so didn't earn that, so-and-so, you know, whatever, we have to be careful. Because if we only live on the level of pure justice, we may not be being faithful to the kingdom of God. Because there are times people can't earn or deserve what they need. And then our mercy and our generosity should be the most important things. That's what Jesus is teaching us today. Just to conclude with one final thought. Is it fair that Jesus died on the cross? Was it fair to him? Was it just? Did he deserve to die on the cross? I don't think so. We didn't earn that. We can't deserve that. But we needed it. In mercy, he did that for us. So in mercy and generosity, we need to respond to other people when they stand in a place they can't do anything about, they can't help it. Be merciful and generous. That's the way the kingdom of God should be, beginning even now. May God bless you.